Thanksgiving legend is simple enough. It says, if the bears become selfish and greedy, and unkind to the needy, and insufficiently thankful for nature's great bounty, that monster of monsters, Big Paw, would come and gobble up Bear Country, county by county.
Big Paw!
And welcome to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and thank you for joining us for this big, big, big Thanksgiving special. A special so big that I have two very good friends here to help me get through it. Why don't you guys go ahead and reintroduce yourselves to our listeners?
Hi, I'm Brad Mariska, and I'm a Berenstain Bear collector from Austin, Minnesota.
And I'm Jeremy Gloff, and I'm a Berenstain Bear collector from Tampa, Florida.
And you guys all probably remember Brad and Jeremy from our collectors episode, and they are here to walk us through the Berenstain Bears Meet Big Paw from 1980. Now, is this a book, guys?
Well, it started out as a television special. It was the second animated special on NBC that featured the Berenstain Bears.
Right, and we covered The Berenstain Bears Christmas Tree, which was the first special. We didn't cover the special yet. We actually covered the book of the special. But this time we're going to jump right in and talk about the animated special, because this thing is a delight. It's amazing, and it's very bizarre in a lot of ways.
That is absolutely true. It's a little bit scary, maybe, for the little ones.
Yeah, it's a little bit spooky.
It's kind of scary for me. I never saw it until today, so... I was like, whoa, this is kind of scary.
Yeah, it introduces a lot of elements to the Bear universe that I think are going to be kind of unique to the animated specials and then like the mid-80s television series. Yeah, stuff that doesn't really latch on in the books, but really holds on in the animation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's get talking about this special. Stan and Jan Berenstain, just like the first special, they wrote it.
Yes. This is one of those specials that they went to NBC and said, you know, we're really wanting to get into the market. The Berenstain Bears franchise was really taking off in the late 70s, and they saw an opportunity. They saw that, you know, all of these other children's books series are getting these holiday specials. And they were able to convince some producers to first make the Christmas special in 1979, but it was the first of a 5-series deal, and a Thanksgiving special was the second one to come along.
Right, and there were a lot of like children's properties and family properties that were getting specials in the mid to late 70s. This is around the same time we had like the Family Circus specials coming out, right?
Yeah, and it's easy to forget in the 21st century with all of the media opportunities with cable and now all the television shows that are being released on sites like Netflix and Amazon that it was a very crowded marketplace. Mm. You had to have a very successful property to get an evening special because there were only 3 major networks.
What struck me when I first, and I haven't seen this since I was a tiny little kid, maybe since it first aired, I don't know, like... I think I was around 4 years old when I saw it, but I remember seeing it. It has a very different vibe than the Berenstain Bears books. A very different vibe from the Christmas special. It's more of an adventure story. It's more of an episode of a TV show.
Yeah, I feel like this special came out of the tradition of. The Bear Scouts, the first sort of what I call adventure book from the beginner book series where the kids go out and usually in those books, Papa gets into trouble and the kids save him. And that's kind of what happens here is that Papa goes and like flies off the handle and overreacts, and it's actually the kids who save him again in a roundabout way.
What's really telling, as soon as the special opens, the first real image you get is Mama Bear in the kitchen performing some sort of witchcraft.
Yes. I know, I saw that. I'm like, this is like the occult. Like,
right,
this
right.
is very, very strange. I mean, especially in light of the fact that in the past 10 or 15 years, the Berenstain Bears series has become very Christian oriented.
Yes.
This is absolutely the occult. I mean, she is like reading this. She puts this flower in a frying pan and she's able to see the sign of this impending doom and how everyone in Bear Country is going to meet a deadly fate at the hands of this mysterious Big Paw.
I was hooked from the second I saw that. Because I always collected the books but never saw the cartoons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I watched it so I could talk. And seeing that, I'm like, this is completely different than anything I've ever seen in the books. And I loved it, actually.
And what I love about it is that it immediately says this is a separate, like, timeline. Like, this is a different bear country. Like, it's the cartoon world, not the book world. The bears behave differently. They have a different relationship to their city, to their environment, to the citizens of Bear Country. It's much more volatile. It's much more almost like just, it's much more earthy.
I think that really speaks to the fact this special isn't, it's a Thanksgiving special, but it's not really that much about Thanksgiving. And I think they were trying to reach out to maybe a larger audience and to react to sort of the commercialism or American excess that they were saying, you know, the reason that Big Paw was going to come back and destroy everything in Bear Country is because people weren't appreciating each other and the simple things, and they were taking advantage of others and becoming very selfish.
And then you get into like the herd mentality later. It was a lot of sociology in this.
It gets nuts.
Yeah, this whole Beauty and the Beast like pitchfork mob that's going to go and get Big Paw.
It's so timely right now. Actually, it's interesting.
I was just going to say that. I want to get to that when we get to near the end of the special. But my first big question is: so Mama performs her divination, and she's like, "Because we've all become so greedy, Big Paw is going to return and gobble up Bear Country county by county." And they've all heard of this legend. Like, Papa reacts very viscerally to the name Big Paw. So, because, spoilers, Big Paw ends up being a real character, like, he actually shows up. But this is an old legend, apparently. Like, everyone knows this story. Mm. Like, how far back does this go?
Right, and everyone not only knows the story, but has an opinion on it.
Yeah.
Because Papa is very firm about, no, this is, you know, this is all nonsense or whatever. Yet, of course, when it turns out that Big Paw is real, he's the first one to, without any sort of questioning, to just react violently to Big Paw. Oh. I could speculate as to my assumed, political leanings of Papa, but I won't go there.
Well, we learn from their rhyme that apparently Bear Country, at least the television version of Bear Country, is divided into counties. It's something we've never known before. And then we are introduced to a series of animal friends who witness the arrival of Big Paw. We learn a few phrases. They refer to Bear... Oh, yeah, because there's something weird. It cuts to its first commercial break right after like the intro. And when it comes back, the narration sort of reintroduces us to the plot. Just in case you stepped in after the initial intro, and it refers to the Great Grizzly Race. And already in this special, we've got Bear Country legend, we've got Bear Country magic, and a sense that this is like an old, like, grizzly bears are a race of bears. I don't know. I like that this television specials are kind of building their own sociology.
Well, and I think I love reading into this because you think about the first Thanksgiving and how was, you know, the European race and the Native American race, and they were meeting for the first time. And I love how they phrase some of the things in this special, like in this very sort of mythological, historical context where... Not overtly, but on the subtext, there's sort of, you know, this us versus them, and you know that in the end everyone is going to come together and like have a big meal, but you don't know how it's going to all resolve itself.
And you're not quite expecting things to get so dire and life-threatening. It really does get dire and life-threatening there at the end.
Yes, it gets really dark. I mean, that mob is violent. They are gonna kill Big Paw.
And we also realize that Bear Country has kind of become a horrible place where everyone's keeping all their property behind like padlocks, chains, massive, like Papa Bear and the kids walk through like what seems to be just a street that's lined with high fences with keep out signs.
Yeah, it's very dystopian.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a sad place.
Mm-hmm. They're all bloodthirsty.
Bloodthirsty. They all want you to keep your hands off their pumpkins.
Yeah.
The food is alive in this version of Bear Country.
Yep.
The grapes are alive, the tomatoes are alive. It's a very different image of Bear Country than we even got in the Christmas special, because at the end of that everyone seemed to be like very joyous and giving and celebrating happiness and light, and then all of a sudden, come a year later, Bear Country's back to its old ways. So Mama, they talk about Mama a little bit. She's talking about all the stuff she's thankful for, and at one point it says she was even thankful for old Papa Bear, and Mama Bear dusts Papa Bear's photograph on the mantle, and it says she's thankful for Papa Bear, and she makes this horrible face at the camera. And coupling that with the fact that earlier in the episode when she's divining with her magic honeypot, she says one of the things that might be in her future is, quote, a handsome stranger. It makes me wonder just how satisfied
I guess I didn't even catch that line. Yeah, whatever, I don't remember that line. Like, that's I don't even know what to think of that.
See, I definitely need to go back and watch this again. And it's worth a second watch. You know what I mean? Like, it was so good.
How unsatisfied is television Mama Bear? She sings a song. I want to say that the songs in this are very catchy.
They're very timely. Like, there's a 70s synthesizer.
Yeah.
It's very, like, hipster sounding almost.
There's a lot of good slapstick. There was slapstick in the first special that I didn't feel really sat well with the story they were telling. But you get a lot of good physical comedy in this one that I think fits the energy of the special a lot better, especially when the hedgehog is doing semaphore to spell out the name Big Paw.
Right.
Yes.
Like, I really like
There it. Is not a dull moment in the show.
Yeah, the energy is just nonstop.
And in the song that Big Paw sings, there's some big word he uses. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, he says, he's talking
about...
Like,
he's not Sasquatch.
Sasquatch, abominable snowman. What does he say? He says, those guys are...
There's just some word. I'm like, this is a big word for a children's TV special.
That's Stan Berenstain showing off his college education. So there's this. So the hedgehog shows up and tells everyone that Big Paw's coming, and the Papa Bear gets the residents of Bear Country just whipped up into a frenzy. They're terrified of this bear. Papa Bear is basically, like we said, plays the role of Gaston. He scares them into thinking this thing is going to come and destroy their town. But meanwhile, the kids have separated from Papa Bear, and they've gone to the sinister bog to find mixed nuts from the mixed nut tree, which is apparently a thing in Bear Country.
I love the sinister bog.
The sinister bog, the mixed nut tree, which is a weird thing to have. And Big Paw himself, Big Paw, when he first shows up, is literally like 50 feet tall.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he picks up the bear. So the cubs fall out of the tree and he saves them. And then he picks up their basket and it is basically the size of his fingernail.
Right.
Like, he's enormous. They both fit in one hand. Like, the cubs fit in the palm of his hand when they fall. Showing, of course, to the audience that he's not a bad guy. He's just big. He sings, like you said, he sings a wonderful song.
If any of the listeners have never heard this song before, it's genius, but it's also can be really scary if you're seeing this as a small kid.
Yeah, I'm looking at the YouTube comments, and there's all these comments like, this scared me when I was a kid.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Boy, Pop's gonna really love these. Yeah, these nuts are really delicious.
You can have your Sasquatch, your abominable.
Here comes that line.
Here it is.
Yep.
My name is Big Paw. I supersede them all.
Yeah,
supersede. That's it.
One thing I like to do is chew. And when I chew, I chomp. And chalk and grind and tear and rip and claw.
I mean, mean, it's just like, it's really morbid. Violent.
Yes.
See, and me as a musician, all I hear are like the timpani and the French horns and the minor key. And I just, I love it.
I was saying, as like an electronic musician, when I heard that synthesizer, I'm like, this is so cool.
Yeah. Well, and that's especially in the song that follows with the one that Mama sings about how a stranger is just somebody that you don't know yet, which is also a very dangerous phrase to tell a kid.
Yeah, especially since like Berenstain Bears Don't Talk to Strangers comes out like in just a matter of years.
Like the next year. Yeah. And I think it was like direct response to Meet Big Paw, because all of a sudden these kids were going out and like talking to strangers.
50-foot tall bears. I will say that in the middle of Big Paw's introductory song, there's actually a short guitar solo that Big Paw plays on his like lute or whatever it is he's
right. Yeah, it's like a lute, but he also uses it as a club. It is a thick piece of wood.
But he props his foot up and just plays a little bit. I was like, yeah, they don't. You would never see that in a cartoon now.
No,
is that the same thing that he has on the cover of the activity book?
Yes,
the lute. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he's he sort of seems to be this like throwback. Like this guy has probably just been wandering around since like the mid '60s, just hanging out, living off the land. He grew his hair extra long so he could get rid of his clothes. He's just this sort of like ultra big hippie.
Yeah, he's just misunderstood. Yeah. He's kind of like the Beast in Beauty and the Beast. He's not the Grinch, but the whole plot line and the storyline, the relationship between this ostracized unknown and the community is very much Grinch-esque.
And he's also an extension of Great Natural Bear from the Almanac.
Yes.
They acknowledge yes. that he's basically the same character.
Correct, yeah. The Berensteins have said that that's where he came from.
Yeah, there's a lot of Grinch in this episode, in this special. There's also a lot of, like, sort of a lot of, there's the Great Pumpkin, in the sense that there's this, like, legend, and it's kind of a spooky atmosphere, and the kids are, like, in the dark. There's a little bit of, like, Dr. Seussian, like, the Butter Battle book, like, when it comes to, like, stories about conflict and conflict resolution. Mm-hmm. It's a general kind of mishmash of ideas. So what happens is Papa is going to lead this army of Bear Country people against Big Paw when the kids show up, and then Mama sings a song about a stranger. It's basically like the song from The Simpsons, "Oh Streetcar," a stranger's just a friend you haven't met. But she
this song is totally from the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
And what I love about it is this special came out in 1980, but the music that was written by Elliot Lawrence in this situation is definitely about 5 years behind the curve.
A stranger's just somebody you don't already know. He could be a friend.
With that kind of friend, who needs a foe?
He could be a prince. He could be a schmo, or just a regular sort of a joke. A stranger's just somebody whom you haven't yet met. So don't make a fuss, it's not etiquette. So come on, get set, try not to forget. A stranger's just somebody whom you haven't yet met.
I feel like I'm watching a musical from the mid-70s.
I was
like,
going to say, yes. I wouldn't be surprised
Pippin
to hear, like,
or a chorus line.
I wouldn't be surprised to hear, like, B. Arthur singing this on, like, the Donnie and Marie show.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Like, doing a little soft shoe across the stage. It's been rehearsed about 3 times. No, it's great. So she convinces the bears through her song to try diplomacy, because they don't really know what his deal is. He hasn't done anything. So Papa and the kids go up to confront him, but Papa mistakes his yawns for roars, and his shadow for his size, and his fire for his fire breath. So Papa rolls down the mountain, because Big Paw's on the top of the mountain. Papa rolls back into town and says, "This guy's dangerous. We've got to take him out." And they get weapons.
Like, they do. And actually, the book. So in the adaptation, when they made it into the Berenstain Bears Thanksgiving in 1989, or no, 1997, excuse me. This is one of the best pages in the book. And I just want to, they adapted the text very, very nicely. And it really kind of makes you think. And it says, Swords were unsheathed, bugles were blown, they were no longer bears with minds of their own. They were no longer Jack and Jill, Betty and Bob, the bears had become a dangerous mob. With the false courage of numbers, to the mountain they went, with an arsenal of weapons and deadly intent. Speaking of, you know, how we were talking about sort of this folk pop sound of that song that Mama just sang. You know, there's that song from, you said he's an old hippie. What's that song from the 60s that you always sing at camp about how people went up the mountain and they were going to steal...
A one tin soldier?
Yeah, a one tin soldier. Yeah. I mean, am I the only one who's kind of thinking this? Like, they're going to go, like, kill this person
part of that,
who only has love to share.
Right.
Yeah.
Peace on Earth, as one tin soldier tells us.
They arm them, in the cartoon, they arm themselves with bombs made of skunks.
Yeah.
beehive grenades. An old cannon that blows up on Papa. And they get most of the way up the mountain, and then they finally realize that the cubs are up there.
Yep.
And trapped between the army and Big Paw, who is about to topple a pile of boulders down on the bears below. So Big Paw's going to defend himself.
Yeah.
Like, he's no total peacenik. He's seen some stuff.
Well, he has nowhere to go, and they're coming with, you know, weapons.
Right. I feel like he's probably been John Rambo'd out of a few towns.
Yeah.
Like, he's had more than one
share of his... They're walking up the mountain. Like, he looks so scared.
Yeah,
you really feel sad for him.
But he's going to fight back, and he's going to fight back with deadly force. And they realize that if the boulders fall, the cubs will be crushed, and the only one who can save them is Big Paw himself, which he does. And mm-hmm. I guess the town figures if he didn't kill the kids, he's probably a good guy. And so they let him come join the Thanksgiving feast, and that seems to teach them all a lesson.
Yeah, their turnaround is immediate.
Yes.
I mean, in like 20 seconds of the special, they go from wanting to kill him to inviting him to Thanksgiving dinner.
Right, and there's no, like, I bet there has to be, like, a missing, really awkward scene. Like, once he gets down the mountain, where they're like, you want to join us? Like, I mean, sorry about, like, trying to kill you. I know we were all going to kill you.
If only the world was really like that, where people could just be friends after 10 seconds of seeing each other.
If only. And he does. He sits down. He's brought back the bucket of mixed nuts that the cubs lost, which is no longer the size of his finger, is now because he's no longer 50 feet tall. He's now larger than the other bears, but he fits at the table.
Right? Well, and, you know, another telling element showing that this maybe is not in the continuity of the other books, because we've been told in book after book after book that Papa's favorite food is honey.
Yeah.
But they specifically say that his favorite snack is mixed nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, this tale has gone off in a different direction.
Yeah.
And I'm going to point out one thing that tells me, and beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this is in its own bear universe, is that the sconces on the front of the house, first of all, they're not there in the beginning, and then when you finally see them, they look completely unlike the illustrations in the books.
Oh, man.
They are, I can only speak for the television special, but they are not the sconces you see on the house in any of the Berenstain's illustrations. And to me, that's always the signal that we are dealing with another continuity here.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't, and I should have known to look for that, because I know that you're always looking for the sconces, and I did not pay attention. Of course, in the book version, they've fixed it by then, you know. So that is very interesting.
Now, Jerry,
great observation.
Yeah.
Jeremy brought up something earlier, like, way earlier, which was about the fact that the theme of the show, a lot of the theme is actually still very relevant,
mm-hmm.
which is this notion of welcoming strangers into our communities.
Yeah.
Right? And the herd mentality of just going after the common enemy without really knowing them.
Especially
in the Facebook age.
Yeah.
Well, it's playing out every day, whether it's, you know, what is happening literally this week with Syrian refugees, or whether it's the larger story of pretty much every major news story and international conflict over the past, well, since forever, that we are just suspicious of the quote unquote other.
Oh, definitely.
And sad to say, I'd feel that I'd go ahead and say not much progress has been made since this book came out all those years ago in the special.
Yeah. Have we learned nothing from Big Paw?
Right.
I know.
Well, I would say that it's one of those lessons that just has to be taught, like,
right,
all the time, like, over and over again. Like, because the person, I mean, eventually Big Paw, you know, not to give anything away, but eventually Big Paw just becomes another character in Bear Country in the mm-hmm. in the TV series. He's uh-huh. there, he's acknowledged, and eventually the people we consider to be strangers just become part of our community, and then we get new strangers.
Right.
Right.
And I think correct. That's a great lesson to keep teaching children.
Well, and it's a lesson that they deal with in the Berenstain Bears and the new neighbors.
Yep.
Big time. And that's a really good book. I know you'll cover that in a future episode, but it deals with that same theme. And I think it's actually a really good point, like you said, Phil, that, you know, we have to keep teaching this because, you know, people are always afraid of things that are new and different. I mean, to some degree, it's human nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'd say this even goes further into that because the bears actually have a legend that justifies their fear. Like, it's not right. just someone shows up in town that they don't know. It's that they've been talking up how horrible this thing is for generations. And mm-hmm. I think that's a very specific issue of it's not just the other arriving in town. It's the other who we have taught ourselves and our children and been taught by our parents to fear. You know, however unjustifiably, it's this ingrained fear. And that's something that's much harder to overcome, I think.
Well, and it's also such a more serious or darker theme. You know, we think of most of the Berenstain Bears books as either being really just silly, lighthearted books like the original beginner books,
yep.
or they're these moralistic tales that maybe there's a conflict, but it's always resolved, and the bear family still loves each other.
Right.
And the majority of this special is about conflict and about these feelings of anger and hate and warfare, and only at the very, very end is there any sort of conflict resolution.
And it really does feel like an authentic conflict resolution. It didn't feel like they were just trying to wrap it up fast. Like, it seemed like, you know, this could happen. We
right,
could get
right.
to know the strange person and realize that they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like oops, we screwed up. Like, yeah. this person obviously isn't here to hurt us.
Right. And Mama gets to be a real character.
Mm-hmm.
Her passion and her lessons come not from being a scold, as she's traditionally portrayed. Like, in, you know, people tend to think of Mama as just wagging her finger. This is a life or death situation.
Mm-hmm.
And she uses logic, she uses reason, she uses compassion to get her point across. And I think,
but it's also because of her that we had this whole, I mean, you know, if she hadn't been practicing witchcraft, we never would have had this problem in the first place.
Mama's an old soul.
Oh, it's a shame we never got to learn more about her coven.
Yeah.
Again,
maybe in future books.
Oh, yeah, I right. somehow doubt that.
I don't, yeah.
None of Zondra kids has
a third generation of Berenstains right. writing them, if that's the case, because Mike isn't going to do it.
Please let us write the books. No.
Yeah, once they fall into public domain, like the Oz books, and you can just sort of create your own
fan fiction.
Yeah,
this was a successful special.
Yep.
There were three more after it, but it took a long time for this to get adapted into a book.
Yeah, I don't know what took them so long, because they adapted the Christmas one immediately.
Right, and they spent time on that one. I mean, it's a gorgeous book.
It's beautiful.
A great book.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so
it's the best book.
Oh.
I'm just putting that out there. I want to go on the record.
Oh yeah.
since this podcast will be here for all of posterity, the Berenstain Bears Christmas Tree is the best Berenstain Bears book. Period.
Wow. It's definitely in my top five as well. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous book. I don't own the Berenstain Bears Thanksgiving.
I think it's worth owning.
I think from what I've seen, I definitely want to get my hands on it. What are you guys' thoughts on it?
It's first of all, it's just it's beautifully made. It's a large hardcover with glossy pages. The illustrations are about what you would expect from them in the late 90s. They're more simpler, more commercial looking. Yeah. But there are a few pages where it's obvious that they went back and watched the special, like especially the ones where they're in the woods and Big Paw appears for the first time. They look a little bit, they're the full page, full color spreads that are slightly reminiscent of Christmas Tree and the Bear's Almanac. But I also think that they did it. They followed the story very closely. They the text rhymes appropriately. It's not forced. It's a nice adaptation.
Interestingly enough, I have the soft. I didn't know there was a hardcover. I have the Scholastic softcover one.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a softcover.
So there you go. From Cartwheel Books. Yes.
That's what my Cartwheel. Yep.
We don't know why, but it took him a long time to adapt it.
Same with the Valentine special and Play Ball. They didn't adapt. The only one they adapted right away was the Christmas one.
So could there have been, I don't know, I mean, could there have been rights issues or?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I don't know why they would not have the rights to convert the others into storybooks, though, if they had the first one. And they were exclusively with Random House at the time. And these all came out by Scholastic. So perhaps there was some issue with copyright or something.
Now, eventually the Bear Scouts meet Big Paw.
They do, and that's loosely the same story, but what's really funny about it is that they convert it into like some big scheme that Raffish Ralph like is behind it all. It's I haven't read it in a really long time, but It's the same basic story of, you know, Big Paw appears and everyone is scared of him, and then the Bear Scouts go to investigate, and he climbs a mountain, and the big people go up there with pitchforks, and they're all saved. But I can't remember exactly how Raffish Ralph plays into it, but of course he's the real bad guy.
Now for the listeners who don't know what we're talking about, this is something we haven't even begun to cover yet, which is this isn't a typical Bear Scout book like the little storybooks. This is a much longer book, right?
This is a chapter book.
Yeah, this is chapter book.
96 pages.
Yeah, so that's something we'll be getting into later. The chapter books are a whole other ball game.
And there's three series of chapter books. There's the big chapter books, the Bear Scout chapter books, and
the Haunted Lighthouse.
The Haunted Lighthouse series, the Stepping Stone, I think.
Stepping Stones, yeah.
Yeah, those were the worst of the group.
Yes, for those people out there listening who think this show is already going to last a very long time if we cover everything. Yeah, there's a lot of chapter books out there.
There are. That's the thing. Like, just to, so everyone knows, because I'm sure you have some people listening that are saying, oh, wow, I loved the Berenstain Bears when I was growing up. I mean, you know, I just hope everyone knows that there are about 300 or 400 Berenstain Bears books.
Yeah.
So get ready.
Yeah.
There's a lot more episodes to come.
Yeah, so in the future, I would love to start covering the TV series that came out in the 1980s. And that's where we really see Big Paw become more of a character. And that's kind of how I got to know him as a kid, was the Saturday morning cartoon, where he would pop up every now and then.
Yeah, for example, there's even a whole episode called The Big Paw Problem,
right?
And that's not based on any book and was never adapted to any book.
Yeah. I do want to say that in searching for this, I kept wanting to call this The Berenstain Bears and the Legend of Big Paw, because mm-hmm. that's the name of the Pound Puppies movie.
Yes, that one shows up once in a while when you Google it. You end up with the Pound Puppies.
And the Legend of Big Paw. And I'm like, wow, there's, I guess, in as far as like anthropomorphic animal legendary goes, many species will have their Big Paw character.
Well, I mean, they never do address where Big Paw came from.
Is he like their Aslan?
Maybe Big Paw is the one who connects all of, I mean, like the great grizzly race maybe isn't that far removed from Pound Puppy world. I don't know.
Or maybe Big Paw is the character who like travels between continuities, like Aslan travels between worlds. Mm-hmm. So the Big Paw in the almanac and the Big Paw in the TV show and the Big Paw in the chapter books is all the same Big Paw, even though he's operating in different continuities. which is why he only shows up when he's needed.
Anything? I honestly, if I were like gonna go into that wardrobe, I'd rather go to Bear Country than Narnia. So how great would that be if I went into that wardrobe someday and I ended up in Bear Country? I would not want to come back.
I would stay forever.
Yeah.
The only witch you'd have to deal with would be Mama Bear.
And the babysitter until you get to know her, Mrs. Grizzly.
Yeah, until you get to know her.
Was there any like Big Paw merchandise?
Not really. There was the Big Paw. Jeremy mentioned the activity book that came out in 1989.
Uh-huh. Was that the first time he showed up in a book? Was the activity book?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too.
But no, there was not a lot of merchandising because I've basically got it all, and there's no Big Paw stuff,
which is a shame because I probably
I think they missed an opportunity there.
Yeah, I probably
I'd buy a Big Paw doll.
That's what I was going to say. A big plush Big Paw with his guitar.
Yes, please.
You squeeze him, he sings a song from the 70s.
maybe he could sing One Tin Soldier for us.
I think everyone in that song dies, and then at the end, they turn over the rock.
They all kill each other.
Yeah.
They kill the peaceful people up on the mountain. Right. So this is what would have happened. Okay, this is what would have happened essentially. You know, in this movie, if it had played out, or like Beauty and the Beast, or whatever, is that you kill the peaceful people and to steal their treasure, and when you lift up the rock, their treasure is just it says peace on earth. Like that was their secret. That was the secret treasure they were guarding.
Which is
was
a
peace.
Terrible treasure. Because you can find that written on a lot of things. Like you don't have to hide it under a rock. You can go into any gift shop and find that on a t-shirt.
That's true.
So bringing this back around to Thanksgiving, it does, the whole story does end with a big Thanksgiving feast. They're eating the turkey and the fish and the honey and the pies, and they have everything set up. And just like the Christmas special, it ends with them eating because that's a big part of their lives as bears. And like you said, it's not specifically Thanksgiving themed. It strays quite a bit, but I think at the end of the day, at the end of the special, it does have a really strong message of appreciating, not just appreciating what you have, but welcoming people into the fold, which is kind of a bigger Thanksgiving message than just being thankful.
Right.
Yeah,
I agree.
So thumbs up from you guys.
Oh, I love it.
Two thumbs up for sure.
I'm just going to put one big paw up.
Yes.
One big paw. There you go.
One big paw. It is a delight. I don't believe it's still being published in any.
No, but the ebook is available if anybody has like a Kindle or an iPad. That just recently came out, actually.
Oh, wow.
So there is an ebook version of it available for download. Otherwise, if you go on Amazon, there's tons of copies, used copies for sale for super cheap.
Was it ever released on DVD?
Yes, it is on DVD as a double feature along with Berenstain Bears' Christmas Tree, so you can get them both on one DVD. Okay. It was also released in at least three VHS editions. I'm looking at the three that I have right now. It was also released on Laserdisc.
Wow.
So if anybody wants to go out there, that always shows up on eBay every once in a while. In fact, as of yesterday, there were one or two.
So the Berenstain Bears meet Big Paw. That's what we covered today. That is our Thanksgiving special. Guys, I want to thank you so much for joining me again.
Well, thank you again for inviting us.
Yes.
Absolutely. I love this.
Yeah, I hope we can get together again soon and discuss more oddities in the Berenstain Bear universe.
Yeah, for sure. And anybody out there who's looking to get a good Berenstain Bears Thanksgiving book, there's several others if you can't put your hands on the Berenstain Bears Thanksgiving. There's the Berenstain Bears Thanksgiving All Around, Give Thanks, Thanksgiving Blessings, Harvest Festival, and Prize Pumpkin. So those are all in print still.
And you guys want to plug your Facebook page?
Absolutely. Anybody can go to Facebook and search for Berenstain Bears Collectors.
Yeah, it's a great little community online.
It really is a lot of fun. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, and Jeremy is the best. He helps folks find things. He's like the number one book finder guy. Man, people will post stuff and say, hey, I'm looking for this, and he goes out there and finds it for them. So he's awesome. He really gets into the spirit of the community.
As long as they don't ask me for the same thing like 20 times, then
fantastic. As far as we go, you can find this show on iTunes. Please, if you're listening, go to iTunes and rate and review us. Let us know what you think. We're at BerensteinBearcast.wordpress.com. That's where the blog is. I hope to put a couple of pictures up on the blog of some things relating to Big Paw for this episode. You can also email me at BerensteinBearcast@gmail.com. Or you can find me on Twitter. I am at BStainBearcast on Twitter. Shout at me. Let me know what you think. I'll talk to you guys later.
That's absolutely. We look forward to the next one.
Great. And everyone else and everybody, happy Thanksgiving.